Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the way that you use it to teach us, to train us, to challenge us. We pray, Father, as we read this letter to the Thessalonians, that you would encourage us and help us to see what it means to live for Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, we're starting this new series in 2 Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians were a group that lived for Jesus despite a lot of pressure on their faith. There was external pressure, trials, persecutions. And then there was internal pressure. They had false teaching going on. And there were people in the church behaving in disruptive ways. These were a group of Christians who were seeking to live for Jesus while under pressure. Now, it can be hard to keep doing good and sticking with Jesus when you're under that pressure. And the world that we live in, we seem as Christians to be under an increasing amount of pressure. The social and political situation that we live in is moving further from its Christian foundation to one that opposes Christ. And so when we seek to do the good that God wants us to do, it can come with friction. It can come with cost. You stick your neck out to ensure that something dodgy doesn't happen at work and you get punished or sidelined for it. You stand up for the rights of the unborn or for God's definition of marriage and you get labelled as hateful. You try to warn someone against making an ungodly decision and yet you get your head bitten off. Or even silly things, you know. The whinging I have to wade through so often when I'm trying to read the Bible with the kids. It's hard to keep doing the good that God wants us to do when there's pressure and pushback, isn't it? So how do we keep on doing the right thing? Living for God when the pressure is on. Well, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians addresses that issue. With, you know, the external pressures that we read about in that chapter 1. And then later in the letter, we'll see how he addresses internal pressures, such as false teaching, ungodly behaviour, and we'll look at those in the coming weeks. But before we look at Paul's words to them in 2 Thessalonians, I thought it'd be good to just remind ourselves of Paul's background with the Thessalonians. So let's think about Paul and the Thessalonians. Now we read about Paul and the Thessalonians in Acts 17. Paul arrives in Thessalonica and spends about 3 weeks preaching the gospel to them. And a whole bunch of people turn, as he says in 1 Thessalonians, turn from idols to serve the living and true God. But while that's happening, there's a bunch of Jews who are not very impressed with what's going on. And so they round up a mob and they kind of start a riot that happens in the city. And so it forces Paul to kind of escape town in the middle of the night. And then this group that are opposed to Paul, that, you know, incited this riot in the city, start to be a thorn in Paul's side. They're so incensed that some of them follow Paul to the next city that he goes to and create trouble for him there. And then later on in Acts, when we read that Paul gets to Jerusalem, it's some of this crowd and others as well who spot him and try to kill him. These opponents that we read of in Thessalonica are hardcore opponents. And this is the group who these baby Thessalonian Christians are left to deal with. And so as you can imagine, Paul leaves Thessalonica and he's devastated to have left these new Christians amongst these wolves. And we read in 1 Thessalonians, his first letter to them, about kind of what happens after that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, "But brothers," is Paul writing, "brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing we made every effort to see you. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless." But Timothy has now just come to us from you and has brought us the good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Paul left Thessalonica, but he was so concerned for them that he sends Timothy to go and check on them, make sure that they're okay, make sure they haven't fallen away under that vast pressure they were under. But Timothy, the good news is Timothy returns with the news that they're standing firm. And we see the depth of Paul's care for them in 1 Thessalonians. So he says this: "Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, where we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." Paul is so encouraged that they have stood firm despite the pressure that they're under. And he writes 1 Thessalonians to sort of encourage them with that. And then after he sent that letter, he must have either received a return letter from them or heard a report or something. And so he writes to them a second time in 2 Thessalonians, continuing to encourage them to stand firm in Jesus. And in this letter that we'll read, he deals with a few of the issues that he's heard that are going on in the church. And so the first one, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1. The first one that we will look at today is the issue that he left them with, that external pressure they were facing from those who opposed Jesus. And Paul speaks about the situation, showing them that despite the appearances, God is at work in them. God is at work in them. Let's have a look. 2 Thessalonians 1. So before Paul goes on to speak to them about what's going on, verse 3, he pauses to thank God for them and the work that God has done in them. Verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you're enduring. Paul is thankful that they have stood firm, despite that incredible external pressure that they're under. And not only have they stuck with Jesus, notice what it says in verse 3, they have grown in their faith and grown in their love for one another. And so Paul wants them to see that even though they are being persecuted, even though there is this great pressure, here is the clear evidence that God is at work in them. God continues to do his work even though they are facing trials and persecution. God is the one who upholds them. God is the one who grows them. Their perseverance is because of God's preservation of them. And so we see Paul, before he even gets into addressing how they are to continue to stand firm, acknowledging the fact that it is God who is holding them. And he gives thanks to God for the way that he is at work in them. And so, as Paul stops and takes this moment, we too should stop and take a moment to consider the way that God is continually at work in us, despite the pressures that we're under. Do we stop to thank God for the way that he has been at work in us? Pause to look for the signs of the way that God's been at work in us and through us. Look for the way that God's been at work in each of us, in others. Here we get to the end of the year. It's a good moment where we kind of pause and stop and take stock of the year that's just gone. And so as we do that at the end of each year, it's important that we also consider the way that God has been at work in our lives as well. So as you stop and think about the year that's been, how has God been at work? Are there sins that you've been able to put to death? Have you seen a growth in a godly character that you've been praying for? Have you managed to get some good Christian routines into place, even though it's been a busy year? Or have you simply managed to hold on to Jesus through a hard year? Praise God. Take some time considering the way God has been at work and thank and praise him. Paul does this with the Thessalonians. And he has a reason for wanting to highlight the way that God is actually at work, despite the pressure. And it ties into what he has to say next. He's wanting them to understand, make sense of the external pressure that they face by getting them to see things from God's viewpoint, with an eye to the future. So next, Paul speaks to their issue of this external pressure, helping them to see that knowing the future helps them in the now. Paul shows that the persecution they face actually has a good side to it. Verse 5. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Now, I imagine that the Thessalonians would ask the question that we'd all ask when we're under pressure and stress, which is God really in control when we're under such stress? Why is God letting this happen to me? And for them, it's, you know, for the struggles that we face in our life, I feel like the Thessalonians had a far more intense version. There's violence in the opposition that they face. And so they would be asking, if God is in charge, then why are his enemies succeeding? And so Paul, in verse 5, tells them that all this evidence of their perseverance, it's evidence that God's judgment is right. He's saying that the persecution doesn't mean that God is not in control. God is in control. He is just. His judgment is right. This is the right path, even though it's hard. God is carrying them through the persecution. This suffering is actually a sign that they're on the right path. They're on the right team. Because they're on the path that's marked by suffering as they follow their persecuted Savior. In fact, their sticking with Jesus through trial shows that they are those who are worthy of the kingdom of God. That is, they are God's kingdom people. God's judgment is right. They are God's kingdom people. And the evidence that his judgment is right is that though they are being mistreated, they stick with him, confirming they are his people. So there's a positive side to the persecution. It proves that they are God's chosen people, worthy of the kingdom. But that's not all. It's not the end of the story. God will not let the persecution go unpunished. He is in control, and he is also just. Paul elaborates on this and shows the Thessalonians that why they should keep standing firm in Christ. Verse 6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. Paul lifts the gaze of the Thessalonians to the future, to God's future judgment, the judgment that will come as Christ returns. When Jesus returns, all will be set right, justice handed out. And Paul tells them that those who are persecuting them, those who are opposed to God, will not get away with it. Those against God will be punished with an everlasting destruction. Now that's not an annihilation as if they'll cease to exist, but as a commentator puts it, this destruction is a complete ruin, the loss of all that makes life worth living. For those who refuse to listen to Jesus, who would not acknowledge the truth about him that we read in the gospel nor obey him, on the day Jesus returns, they will face his judgment. As another commentator puts it, they will experience an infinite and irreplaceable loss. They pass into a night on which no morning dawns. This is the state of things for those who do not follow Jesus. If this is you today, hear the warning. This is serious. You need to turn to Jesus, to listen to what he says, to trust and obey him before he comes back in judgment. I encourage you, if you don't yet trust Jesus, take the time now to explore who he is and what he says about himself. We run a short course here at St. Mark's called Jesus, an Introduction. There's a QR code in your pew, which gives you a bit more information. You might want to explore that. For those who already follow Jesus, do you see how knowing the future helps us survive through the now? Knowing that there is a day coming when all the pressure that we face for following Jesus will evaporate. When all the unfairness that we see will be dealt with. It helps us keep going in the now. Maybe I'm just cynical, but kind of the longer I'm around, the more injustices that I see going unpunished. The more things I see get swept under the rug. There's more situations where I see that the system that we're supposed to help doesn't help. And seeing all these things could cause me to question, to give up on Jesus. How can he let these things happen? But knowing the future helps me in the now. I know there's a day coming when all those who thought they got away with it, they're going to be held to account. It helps me hold on to Jesus as I wade through the muck of this world. Now, while we should be fighting for justice in the here and now, but this future means that we can keep living a life that trusts Jesus, even if that justice doesn't happen in the here and now. Because we know that God has it in hand, even if we don't see it yet. And not only will we see justice done, but there is comfort for all those who are in Jesus. Though we have also done things that deserve this judgment that Paul describes, because of Jesus' death for us, not only do we escape the fury of God on that day, but we will stand with Jesus in his glory. Paul is telling the Thessalonians that the pressure they face should not cause them to doubt that God's in control. They shouldn't doubt God's goodness and his power, but rather he's reminding them that God is in control and that he will bring justice. He tells them to stick with Jesus because despite appearances to the contrary, he is in control. And on the day he returns, he will bring justice and victory. They, and we also, should keep looking to the future of Jesus' return to help us stick with Jesus in the now. Christians can keep following Jesus, even if things aren't going so great, because we know how things will end. Paul goes on. Not only does this picture of the future help us stick with Jesus in the now, but he also tells the Thessalonians and us as well that God is at work in us in the now as well. God is at work in us in the now. Having considered all this, the way that God has helped them stick with Jesus, this future judgment that means they have the reason to stick with Jesus, Paul moves on to consider how they are to live. Have a look from verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in these verses that in considering the pressure that they're under, Paul doesn't just expect them to stay put. It expects Paul to end this little section by saying, you know, the future's coming, everything's going to be all right, so just stick with Jesus, hang on, keep your head down, it'll all be okay. But he doesn't say that, does he? Notice what he says. He goes further than that. He says that they're to keep pressing forward. They are to live their lives to glorify God, enacting their good purposes and acts of faith. Sort of like that growth of faith and love that we read of in verse 3, that to keep going forward. When things are hard, we can tend to just focus on like holding position rather than moving forward. I tend in that direction. When things are hard, you know, I kind of say, oh, I just need to be in survival mode at this moment. It's okay to let some things slide. It's okay to put some things on the back burner. But Paul is encouraging us that that's not the attitude we're to have. We're to, even under pressure, be pushing forward. Which sounds like hard work, especially if you're under the pump, feeling the strain. And it's hard to just add another thing to the, well, just keep going forward. It's hard to keep doing the right thing when the pressure's on, but see what Paul says and how it's so precious to us? Even if it's a struggle to live for Jesus when the pressure's on, we have the reassurance that God is at work in us. Verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. God is the one who is making our resolve to Christian living a reality. He is the one who is working in us despite what's going on. We can have the best intentions and plans. They don't always come off, do they? But it's God who will work in us and through us to achieve his purposes. And so when we are seeking to live for Jesus in the midst of the pressure that we face, we know we have help to do that. And as Paul, as Paul does for the Thessalonians, we must do the same. We must pray. Ask our Heavenly Father to help us. And praise God, he empowers us by his Spirit to move forward, even when under pressure, to live a life that glorifies him. And so when we're living in this world and we feel the pressure, we need to do as Paul does. We need to pray. Our resolve, our hopes, our desires are not going to be enough. We need to come to our Heavenly Father when we feel like the tank is empty or the pressure is too much, and we know that he will answer our prayers. He will work in us by his power to keep us going for Jesus, to press forward for his glory. Despite the pressure that they're under, Paul reminds the Thessalonian Christians that God is upholding them and working in them by his power to live for Jesus. God is the one who works in us despite the pressures we might face. A commentator pointed out that a prayer that acknowledges the way that God is the one who works in us and holds us is in the Anglican Collect for Easter Day. It's just a prayer in the Anglican, these green books. And we're going to read it together as we end. So if you'd open these green books and turn to page 209. In the green prayer books. And the prayer is midway down under the red heading Collect. Let's pray this together. Almighty God, you have conquered death through your dear beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and open to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant us by your grace to set our minds on things above, so that by your continual help, our whole life may be transformed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in everlasting glory. Amen.